Do you feel like it weird. Buys happiness? Like when you have money on you?
Yeah.
just
to some extent, yeah, it does, because not having it and just worrying about how you're like, your whole life is on pause when you don't have money.
Very true.
Your whole life is on pause and you're just literally waiting, and you're just waiting and waiting, and you're working and you're waiting, and like you feel like you just can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like you truly can't do anything, and it doesn't feel nice. It really doesn't feel nice.
You know, I agree with you to an extent, because I do think it buys... I don't think money buys happiness. I think it buys comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
I see you.
Oh, mic drop. Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing? Thanks for the reply. Yeah, okay, no, actually, let's restart. Bismillah. Because I was telling Shahad, I was like, I was not binge watching, but I was going back on our previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And on our first episode, we started it off with Bismillah. And it was so like, Shahad, if you actually listen back to it, and it's on Spotify, it's not on YouTube. But if you listen back to it, we were so like robotic. We went, Bismillah. And then we went immediately, hi guys, welcome to the Minds and Neutral podcast.
No, I think because we retried to do that clip that first many times.
Episode, I think it was a month in the making, I swear. And until like even when we posted it, I wasn't fully satisfied.
Yeah, I was like, we just need to start
because if we kept like pushing it, we were never gonna like get to this position. And alhamdulillah, we've hit a year.
Alhamdulillah.
It is really insane.
Yeah.
And you know, do you ever wish that we started with YouTube immediately?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Same as well.
Because I feel like
there's so much engagement.
Yeah.
Like you actually get to interact with people, and like I love replying to comments, and I love liking comments, and I like seeing what people have to say. It's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And with like just audio, like Apple and Spotify, it was so, I don't know, it was very dry. One-sided. It was just from us, and then we would just post, and we would never really know like the feedback we were getting. But yeah, like I'm so happy, alhamdulillah, it's been a year. But with that, I feel like so many people want to know us.
Yeah,
that's like another thing, like so many people in like 90% of our videos, we always get at least one comment being like, where are you guys from, how old are you guys,
what how you did guys you guys do? Become friends,
yeah, all of this stuff. And we want to dedicate next week's episode to just us basically talking about ourselves.
Yeah,
that's it. So we want you guys to just put all your questions down on YouTube videos, and we'll collect ones from previous videos as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't, it's not only going to be this one, but we'll like put all of them together and we'll just answer all your questions.
Yeah,
and put some interesting questions as well. Like we will answer the basics of where we're from, how we met, all this stuff, and we'll put like some nice stories. Because Shahad always, I feel like you have such better memory.
I have past, like, long-term memory.
But not present-term.
Yeah.
Like, Shahad will remember things that happened, like, 6 years ago, but she'll not remember what she did yesterday, which is so funny. But, yeah, so put some interesting questions. I want it to be really fun. So put them on our YouTube comments. And also, where else are we going to...
We're going to be posting a poll story on our Instagram at Minds in Neutral.
Yeah.
So you can also check us out there and put your questions there, too.
Yeah. So just, like, put as many as you want. And we'll answer as much as possible. And, you know, because I feel like a lot of people don't even know who we are.
Yeah.
Or what Minds in Neutral is. Or why we even started the podcast.
Yeah. And, like, the whole concept of the name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, we explained that in our first episode. But realistically, not everyone's going to go back to that. So it would be so nice to just have something on YouTube where it's, like, pinned. And, like, once a new listener comes in.
Yeah. You know, they can give it a listen.
Yeah, they'll give it a listen. They'll be like, oh, these girls are actually so cool.
And we're so interesting.
And they'll be like, yay, follow, subscribe, whatever. But yeah, anyway, khalas, we got that out of the way. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Alhamdulillah. Week's been good. Very busy week. I had such a busy week last week.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many things to do and done with that, so alhamdulillah, I feel very peaceful. I start uni, so it's great. I'm really happy.
Why are you kind of whispering?
I don't know why I'm whispering.
It's very great.
Sorry. Very nice. It's very I'm not trying happy. To do ASMR, but like it's been really good. Alhamdulillah. Thank God always for everything. But yeah, how are you? Tell me about yourself, girl.
It was a very interesting week.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Was it busy? I don't remember your week.
It wasn't busy, but like I had work. I had work, and I'm waiting for my salary. Yeah. I'm waiting for my salary. I have so much I want to do with my money.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I keep telling Ghana, when I get my salary, I'll do this. When I get my salary, I'll get my car washed. Because haram, miskina. This,
she needs a lot of love.
She needs a deep clean.
She needs a lot of love. Yeah. She's really going through it. And
she really is.
Every time I see her, she's like in a rougher situation.
I know. I even tried to clean like the windows. The
shield. Yeah.
So like I actually got like a tissue when I just started wiping.
Yeah. Because it was so funny.
The wipers don't even work.
Shahid, in one of the episodes, I think it was the last one that we posted, you see fingerprints right here. And we were laughing about it so much. We were like, oh my God, Shahid, you need to clean your car.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting, you guys.
Yeah, inshallah, inshallah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, you don't know when it's... Because you've been waiting for a while.
I've been waiting. My mom has been asking me because, like, all I do now is literally, like, ask her for money. Mm. And it's not that I even ask her. Like, I'm not like, mama gave me money. She's like, oh, Shahid, can you buy this? I'm like, I'm broke.
I don't have money. Yeah. I can't get it.
And then she would be like, okay, fine, I'll transfer you money.
Yeah. So like I'm like, bits and pieces here and there. So you constantly just keep on having to ask.
So I just don't like asking my mom for money, especially that I came, like, a bit of financially independent.
Yeah.
So I feel you. It's so hard and it really puts like a toll on you. And I feel like I can't do a lot of stuff because I don't have money. Like I usually, like I canceled a lot with my friends, especially when they go to these bougie places. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh, can I say something about that? Do you like, one thing I don't like is, okay, and I'm not like saying this about your friends in general, I'm just saying this like in total, but I don't like when people aren't considerate sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, especially if I'm very openly communicative where I'm like, oh, I can't really go to that place right now. Or not that I can't go, but if I've been telling you, oh, I'm rough on money, like blah, blah, blah. And then you want to hang out with me, but you pick like the bougiest place ever. I'm just like, girl, I just told you that I really can't do something like that.
Yeah. See, my friends are nice in a way where it's like, it's fine. Like, we'll pay for you.
Yeah.
But again, I don't like it. I really don't like it.
Yeah.
So.
Do you feel like it buys happiness? Like when you have money on you?
Yeah.
just
to some extent, it does, because not having it and just worrying about how you're like, your whole life is on pause when you don't have money.
Very true.
Your whole life is on pause and you're just literally waiting, and you're just waiting and waiting, and you're working and you're waiting, and like you feel like you just can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like you truly can't do anything, and it doesn't feel nice. It really doesn't feel nice.
You know, I agree with you to an extent, because I do think it buys... I don't think money buys happiness. I think it buys comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
I see you.
Oh, mic drop. No, but like, I actually think it buys comfort, because in a lot of situations that you're telling me right now, like, for example, getting your car washed, that's comfort.
Yeah.
Being able to hang out with your friends, that's comfort. But also with that comfort comes
happiness.
I said gum. With that comfort comes happiness, right? Because, like, you're hanging out with your friends. It's a lot of, like, dopamine. You're getting so excited. You're, like, it's new memories that you're creating.
Yeah.
But I don't think money solely buys you happiness. But it buys you comfort. Like, with money, you can buy a nice house. With money, you can buy a nice car. But I feel like that happiness translates more into comfort of like being stable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also like just that feeling of like security that you are able to afford yourself and afford the lifestyle that you're living. Because the worst is when you've been with money for a really long time.
Yeah. And then you don't have it anymore.
And then you're like, what's my life right now? Yeah. Which is so bad, because we live now, like it's impossible to not live comfortably without money.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't. You have to work. You have to somehow make some sort of income. Because whether you like it or not, if you want to buy food, even if it's not nice food, if it's just like basic survival food.
Yeah.
How are you going to get that money?
Also, living now is so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually truly hard to live. And if you want to like, for example, sometimes I'm like, okay, I won't buy from outside, so I'll just get some stuff from home.
But the shopping,
grocery shop, what? It's expensive. I swear,
like grocery stores are so expensive. Buying simple things like tomatoes and cucumbers have become so overpriced.
Yeah.
Like just like basically living, it costs so much.
Exactly.
Like being in a place even that has like nice AC, good lighting, you have to pay to be there. You can't, like, for example, you go to a cafe there, you're obviously not going to sit there for free. You have to buy a drink or buy some sort of food. So like even like, because I was thinking about it, I was like, even if you want to hang out with your friends and you just want to have like a chill hangout, whatever, and you don't have money, especially like if it's summer or something like that, you can't go outdoors.
Yeah.
You have to be in a place where eventually you're going to need to spend money.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're like, oh, I'm just going to be sitting in the car, hanging out with my friends, getting a drink. Gas.
Yeah.
Like,
gas, your car battery, like, it all, like, adds up.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yani, alhamdulillah, we're still at that age where we don't feel it too much. Because mm-hmm. we're still young and our money goes to our pockets most of the time. Like, we don't have to pay for other things. Like, okay, yeah, we help around the household, but it doesn't go into, like, okay,
The rent. Electricity bills.
Yeah, the kids. Don't do that. Yeah, no. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But, like, just thinking about, you know, even small things, like having a kid now is so costly. Like, Shahad, my nephew's diapers are insane. Just the powdered milk or the bottles to put the milk, or just, I don't know, just anything to do with a child is also insane. And like, even when they get older, it's like a long-term financial commitment that you have to do, because you're going to have to pay for tuition, whether it's like high school tuition or middle school or uni.
Also, on giving birth to that child costs so much. Have you seen those TikToks where they look at the bill?
Yeah.
And
Shad,
insane.
Giving birth can go up to like 20,000.
That's insane.
Just to give birth. Like, I was like, oh my God, I would rather just do it at home. But then, like, you obviously,
there's so much like complications that could happen.
Yeah.
And you need a safe
like
space.
Like health risks. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Like, I feel like if I was to, yani, obviously I'm gonna give birth in a hospital. We're like really switching topics. But like, I would give birth in a hospital 100%, but I wouldn't do it in the traditional way. Mm-hmm. I want to experiment. I don't mean it like that, but like, for example, like laying down and giving birth is actually not good for you.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, oh, I'm gonna be the type of girl to do a water birth, but hey, why not? If it comes down to that, if that's healthier, let's do it, because that puts a lot of stress on your back, and then like some women go paralyzed. Imagine you paid 20,000 to go paralyzed.
That's insane.
Yeah, Allah, like, it's insane. Like, money controls us so much. I feel like I'm having such an Andrew Tate moment right now. Guys, we're in the Matrix.
No, but it is true. Like, money controls everything. Like, so that's why I feel like it controls your happiness to some extent.
Yeah.
Because without it, you're in constant worry. Like, as a like us right now, or as my mom, or as my family, whoever it is.
Yeah.
When you don't have money, you're put in a constant stress. And of course, that's not good for your mind. That's not good for your body. And it makes you negative.
Yeah,
like,
that's so true.
You just have a negative mindset because you're just in constant stress. When do you have time to be happy? Because you're like, oh my God, how am I going to pay for this? Oh my God, my kids need this. Oh my God, I need this. So like, it does, to some extent, it does control your happiness. Because when you have money, when you're living comfortably, when you know that you can afford the things that you need and the things that you want, you're happy. You don't have that worry on your mind of like, I need to work more. I need to get more hours in. I need to do this.
Yeah.
So it does buy happiness.
It does, but it's such a sad life to live that you're constantly, like, I'm not saying, you know, working is a bad thing, because no, you should work, you should be determined, and you should be successful, and you should strive to be your best and whatever, all that great stuff. But it's such a sad life to live that you're constantly like on grind all the time, just to get some cash in your pocket, just to be at a like serenity, just to be like stable, like mentally, emotionally, physically, all of that stuff. Because like, money can also buy health to an extent.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, for example, if you go through a sickness and things like that, like, people in the West, right? Okay, like Canada, you have free health insurance, but you have to wait. Like, by the time you book for an appointment, you have to wait months until you can actually go into the doctor's office and all of this stuff. And like,
then your condition might get worse.
Exactly. And then to actually afford the medicine, it's a whole other thing. And if you have to do a procedure, it's a whole other bill. And it's just like, yeah, okay. That's why I think, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say money buys happiness. Again, I just believe it buys comfort.
Yeah.
Buys comfort, because happiness could come from literally the most simplest things, and it's not always associated with money. Like, sitting down on your prayer mat, having a beautiful prayer, is happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doing a dua that feels so full, and you know, you feel so good afterwards, that's happiness. And that mm-hmm. didn't cost you anything. That's just you and your Lord, just, you know, having a conversation, for example.
Yeah.
And that doesn't cost anything. Or just simply having the company of people around you, not necessarily like going to a fancy place or whatever, that also can buy happiness.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, sometimes money is involved with that. I'm not gonna like include prayers and stuff, but like, for example, we live in a situation where our family doesn't live where we are. Like, your family lives in Egypt, my family lives in Jordan. Mm-hmm. So that surrounding of like being around family, being around your people, blah blah blah, you might not even feel that, because to get to that point you have to pay for a ticket, you have to go and like cross borders, yeah, and be with them. So that's part of money. Like, you're gonna need to afford to see them.
Yeah,
I don't know, I feel like I'm twisting my words, but it's such a like, it's such a weird concept to think that we live just for monetary value a lot of the time.
I just don't know, like, I just truly believe, like, for example, when I went to Egypt, I've seen a lot of people who are not, like, as financially stable, like, alhamdulillah, we are financially stable, but not as financially stable as us, and I could just see their suffering,
yeah,
you know, and I would just be like, how, and they're thinking the same thing, they're like, I want to work, I want to make money, and I know that where they are in, like, geographically, like, their location,
yeah,
they won't be able to make a lot.
Yeah.
And then they have these big dreams, and they have, like, because I talked to them once about, like, does money buy your happiness? And they're like, yeah. They're like, I want money. I want this. I want that. And I want to be able to do this. And I want to be able to do that. And they're so willing to go to work and make it happen. But it's just so tough, because you know that they won't reach the point that they want, and I'm afraid, like, if that would crush their dreams.
Yeah,
because khalas, like, they have a dream and they want to be happy, and that's where they see happiness is, and like, they're really so connected to Allah.
Yeah,
they're always praying for, to like increase their wealth, they're always, you know, yani, they're connected to Allah, as they should.
Yeah,
but like, they have these dreams of the dunya that they want.
Yeah.
And it might be a struggle for them to get it. So that's why I feel like, and all of their dream was just to get money to be able to live comfortably.
Yeah.
And that's where they see the happiness. You know, they can just buy a nice place and just sit. And like, it's not like money as in like billions of dollars and, you know, they want to go buy a yacht, yeah, or they, yeah, want to. No, it's just the simple stuff that a human would like to just.
So comfort.
Yeah. Just find comfort to then find happiness.
Yeah.
And all of that is with money.
You know, I also think to an extent, like, because we live in a time of social media, right? So, like, everything that you, like, you have so much quick access to exposure. Mm-hmm. Like, you get exposure to how other people are living. You get exposure to people living this very fancy life, fancy cars, massive, yeah, villas, like, all of this stuff. You know, pools, I don't know, horses, whatever you can imagine. Like, yeah, you see that. And I feel like to an extent, if they never saw that that could have been a possibility, maybe they would have never strived to want to live that life. Because if you're not exposed to something, you don't know what's to look out for, if that, yeah, makes sense. Like, if you don't see it, you don't, it's like the unknown. If you don't see it, like, out of sight, out of mind. If you have no idea that this other life that other people are living actually exists, then you would just assume, like, what I'm living right now is fine.
Yeah.
You know? And I think maybe, like, in our parents' age, when social media wasn't that prevalent or it didn't even exist, I think they were fine with how they lived. Because the way my mom talks about her memories, she's just always, she was like, obviously she lived a very comfortable life, but it wasn't like the luxury that you see other people have now. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like immense, like, all this stuff. But then I feel, because you have quick access and you see this different lifestyle that other people are having across the world, and you want to reach that point, but then you sometimes feel restricted.
Yeah.
Because where you are doesn't allow you. Or, you know, like, sometimes, Anjad, it's just out of your control. Like, there's this saying that people say, and I really don't like it, where it's like, oh, everyone has the same 24 hours.
Okay.
I understand. We all have the same 24 hours, but we don't all have the same access to things.
Yeah.
Like, if some of these people are living without, like, computers or without phones or stable network or things like that, like, even if you tell them, oh, go online and start, you know, trade and crypto and whatever, I don't know, like, or start a YouTube channel or make income from there.
All of that needs money to start.
Yeah. Not everyone has the same access that you do.
Yeah.
Just because, like, yes, we all have the same 24 hours, but we all live life differently and we all hustle differently.
Yeah.
Like, to some people, it's like their only way of making stable income is just by being like a person who sells sandwiches, for example. And then to another person, it's like being on social media. To another person, it's going to a 9-to-5 job, like an office job.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't all have the same resources. So I don't like that saying where it's like, but we can, you know, people are lazy and they don't work anymore. I think 100% people work.
Yeah.
But we don't have the same
access.
We don't have the same access and we don't have the same offers. And that's just how life is. The privileges,
yeah.
Yeah. And like, to some people it sounds unfair, but it's just reality. Like, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, because like, for like these people, they want to have, I know if they have the access,
they would definitely go ahead for it.
Exactly. They are like, if people back work home driven,
in Egypt,
yeah.
Yeah, if people back home in Egypt had stable network, had great devices, all of these things, obviously they would take advantage of it and they would do well.
Yeah.
And they would succeed, but unfortunately, that comes with a cost.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, in Egypt, electricity shuts off for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Every single day. And Wi-Fi, it's like a data plan. So it's not even like a free, and you use
consistent.
It consistent Wi-Fi that you can use for the whole month. And
it's not
based
like unlimited,
on that,
yeah.
Yeah, based on that, like you pay how much you've used it for. But no, for them, they maybe have like 2 gigabytes for the whole month.
Yeah.
So how can you tell these people that they have, they can do something on social media or get quick money? Because all of the quick money is online. So how
recently.
Can you, yeah, so how can you tell these like people, yeah, you're just not working hard enough.
Yeah, that's a very unfair thing to say. And like, I also don't like when the rise of like Andrew Tate and this hustle culture came out, I really didn't like that, because I was like, okay, I 100% agree that we should all be working hard and we should all be doing our greatest and all of that stuff. But it's, yeah, and you're also, for example, talking to an audience, and every single person has such a different background.
Yeah.
Like, some people, maybe they have the access to things, but maybe they don't have the support. And a lot of people drive on emotional support. Like, mm-hmm. whether we want to believe it or not, a lot of people like support from like their family or things like that. And maybe they are the ones that are holding them back from achieving what they want to achieve.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you could say, oh, but you forget your family. But like, for a lot of people, it's like...
Like, with us, do you think we would have continued if our families did not support what we did?
No way. No way. I would have never continued with the podcast if my mom was like, take this down. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll take it down. And it is what it is. And, like, my mom is my mom and my family is my family. They have such a special place in my heart. So if it doesn't satisfy them, I'm not going to have this mentality where it's like, oh, forget you guys. I'm going to go and live my dreams. And because I'm also realistic. Because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, they are my support system.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I think money is just such a, like, it's such a great concept if you look at it from the cup half full. But then it's also such a sad concept in the bigger picture. Like, the way people do anything for money now is also really sad, Shahad. Like, people,
They scam, they expose
themselves. And I don't mean, like, physically. I just mean, like, people sometimes do the above an extreme where they share like too much just to get a quick buck, or it's just sad like how desperate people are just to do anything to get money.
And also I feel like with money it comes, like, not only it might buy happiness, but it also gets you in a lot of problems.
Yeah, more money, more problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I truly believe that, because once you become a person that makes a lot of money, you start getting a lot of problems, because you start clinging onto the world.
Yeah.
You start clinging on that money. You're afraid that it might all go away.
Yeah.
Because people that make a lot of money might also lose it so
quickly. Because nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah. So quickly, everything is gone. So you see them clinging on it, and that even gets more stress.
Yeah.
Like, puts more stress on them.
Yeah.
And then you find that they're not happy.
Yeah.
And my mom would always tell me, because I even asked her that, she's like, Shahad, money does not buy happiness. Like, in fact, it's like your family, your support system, like all of the experiences you've had in the world and all of that stuff. That's what buys you happiness. Because look at all of these rich people going to therapy.
That's so true.
But then I would be like, yeah, but maybe because they can afford therapy.
But then why did they need therapy in the first place?
Yeah.
Because... they have so much stress on them to maintain that lifestyle, because khalas, they've made their life a certain way and they're not ready to ever back down from it. And valid.
Yeah.
Like, if I worked so hard on myself and I worked for years, or even if it was like a quick idea that I did that made me so much money, I'm not backing down. Like, I want to maintain that life, but I also don't want that life to control me.
Yeah.
To the point where I forget, like, because above all, yes, it was my hard work and all these things, but above all, it was Allah that gave.
Rizq.
Yeah, that, I was just going to say that. Because, like, whether I like it or not, it didn't all come from me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a huge factor that Allah made my life, that it go to that path for me to live that life. And sometimes if you get so worked up in it and so addicted, because it is an addiction, money is definitely an addiction. Once you start making it, you know, you never want to stop. And once you get so addicted to it, sometimes you might lose that connection and that essence that it actually is. It's just like, it's just numbers.
It's just paper.
It's just paper. It's just a number in your account. And I know that number means so much. But in the bigger picture, it's like, above all, it's not the thing that's like end all be all.
You know, I really like how it was a long time ago.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off. Because I feel like now the way we're talking sounds very privileged.
We are.
Yeah.
We are definitely privileged. Like, I've had a conversation with my friend. Just remind me of that a long time ago, okay? Just because I'll talk about this one in a moment. But I had a conversation with one of my friends and she was like, Shahad, which class do you think you're in?
Like social class.
Yeah. And I was like, middle class, definitely. And she's like, but why? And I was like, what do you mean why? And she's like, because if you genuinely look at a bigger picture, why are you saying that you're middle class? You have your own car, your parents have cars, you know, you're in a good university, you got a good education, you're working, you're making money, you can afford yourself, you can do this, you can do that, you can go to this place, you can do and all of that stuff. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then she's like, so then why are you saying middle class? Like, this is luxury. And you actually, like, deeply look at, like, what you have. Like, for example, in Egypt, if I go to Egypt like that, I'll be like, no, I'm high class.
Yeah.
Because middle class there is different.
Yeah.
So,
like, if you look at a world view,
yeah,
we're definitely way more privileged.
We're way more privileged than other people. So I would say, yeah, we are privileged. And alhamdulillah that we are. Because it's a blessing, yani, from Allah.
Yeah, but then that's what I'm saying. It's like, don't you feel like our perspective right now, it's a very privileged viewpoint? Because someone could be listening right now and be like, oh, these girls are coming off from such like a, oh, money doesn't mean anything. But then to some people, money means actually everything, because that's just survival. It's not even happiness or anything. It's just survival. But to us, we're like, guys, money doesn't mean everything and you can live a life happy and blah, blah, blah.
But we're also not saying that.
Like, someone could interpret it like that.
But, like, for example, like, we said that, you know, money controls everything.
Yeah.
Money controls literally your whole life.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, you know, senseless? Like, we're not heartless.
In a way. Like, we're very realist.
But, yeah. Like, we understand and, like, we've seen these point of views.
Yeah.
You've went to Jordan.
Yeah.
You've seen how they live. I've went to Egypt. I know how
they
live.
And we didn't always live this comfortably before, like you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. We gradually came to this point, alhamdulillah, because of Allah and my parents. You know, like, they've worked hard to reach this point. So I feel like money controls your whole life. It controls if you can get that happiness, get that comfort in. And it's sad. It is sad. But I feel like it's just the world that we live in, where khalas, that's just the way it is. Like, for example, these people in Egypt, that they want this and they want that, they might never reach that point that they get that, but then you just see them, like, working and working and working, and it's such a sad feeling.
But then maybe to us it seems sad, because, like, oh, we might think, oh, you're never gonna reach that point, but maybe to them it's like it's a motivation.
It's a drive.
Like, them constantly working, them constantly pursuing their future and their success, maybe to them it's like a push to keep doing better. Maybe to them they're reaching small milestones that they never had before.
Yeah.
Like, maybe now they can afford nicer groceries. Maybe before it was like, oh, we can only have, like, eggs and rice. And maybe now they can afford more meat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, these small milestones that makes more comfort for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... Also, that's another thing that I want us to consider, is, like, what does success mean to different people?
Yeah.
Because maybe success to one person is like, oh, I just want to be married and I want to have a comfortable life. And maybe to another person, it's like, oh, I want to be single and I just always want to work for the rest of my life. And for another person, it could be like, I want to travel the world and I want to experience everything and I want to be adventurous. Yeah. To another person, it's like, I just want to take care of my family, whatever. So like, even to us, maybe we're like, oh, it's sad. Like, because we see another point of view, because we are only, like, when we visit our countries, we're only there temporarily and we leave.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, we come with our mindset, we come with our lifestyle, we, like, that's how our brain is programmed to think. But maybe to them it's like, no, I see so much improvement in my life.
Yeah.
Even to you it's like, oh, haram, like, this guy or this girl, they only get to work like this kind of job, and you know, maybe because where they are, they can never like strive to do the best. But maybe to them that is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think they definitely want a life outside of that. Everyone wants a life outside of that. But I also feel like, also, as humans, we're really greedy and we're never satisfied.
Yeah.
And that's why you just need to keep reminding yourself of your religion and being humble and not taking advantage of that. And that's like such a perfect example of Sayyidina Ayyub. He wasn't greedy, but he was tested.
Yeah.
He was tested on his life because he had everything you can imagine. He had the children, he had the wealth, and he was very respected, and you know, people looked up to him. And then he got tested because Iblis, and he was, you know, he was trying to whisper and trying to get him off his path of being basically like
thankful to Allah.
And he ended up getting tested. He went through sickness and everything that he lost. He lost all his kids and everything.
All his land, all his wealth.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah. Over a certain period of time, just to see, because Allah wanted to see, I'm going to, you know, test my servant. And he ended up passing the test. And that's why I'm always saying, like, yes, okay, it's us, but it's also Allah's mercy.
Yeah.
That can quickly give you and quickly take away from you. So a lot of people could be like, yeah, I worked hard on myself, 100%. Ala ayni wa rasi, you did. But let's not forget those, like, the bigger picture, and who actually gave you that health to work, who actually gave you the resources to work. Even if it's small resources, it's still resources. Who gave you two legs, two feet, a brain that works? It all comes back to Allah.
Yeah. And also, when I went to Egypt, like, even though, like, they were still happy.
Yeah, they were happy. Yeah,
like,
it's not like they were depressed.
They were not upset. Most of them, like, they were not upset. Yeah, they had that like goal of like, oh my God, I want to do this, I want to do that. But they were never sad and low. And no, they would have fun. They would go out. They would do stuff. And like, they'd be like, no, it's fine. Like, let's still go out. Or they would still, yeah, they were just happy. And I feel like maybe. Like, I feel like, no, not maybe, but I feel like it's because they never lost their connection with Allah.
Yeah, there you go.
And I just feel like, wow. Because, like, I would be there and I'd be like, yeah, but, like, I would be like, oh my God, I want to go back. Yeah. Why am I here? You know, the electricity is shutting off every time.
Yeah, exactly. The AC, where's the AC? It's too hot. Yeah, I know. But بالآخر, to them, it's ni'mah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
And they're happy.
And they're happy.
And they're living satisfied. Comfortably. Like, they always, like, I tell my mom, like, oh, you know, what about these people? They're like, they're really happy with their lives. They're living comfortably.
So there you go. It goes back to, does money buy happiness?
Yeah.
Because these people are happy, but they don't live the life that we presume is the happiest life.
Yeah.
But then what if we, like, Shahad, what if we actually get to that point where we live this extremely luxurious life? Like, what if we actually never reach that peak of ultimate happiness?
Yeah. Because I think,
so it just shows you, like,
yeah, I think we'll just keep on looking at, like, oh, but I could be happier if I get more money and if I do this.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, like, you know, the more money you have, the more you would want of the world.
Yeah. Because you start getting greedy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, now I do this. Now I get money from this. So let me do it more. Let me push more. Let me, you know. And like, this was a TikTok, but it was like of this really old lady when she was like 80 or something. And she was just kind of saying, she was like, I hated the way that I lived for the longest time because I kept telling myself, I'll be happy when.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I have my first kid. I'll be happy when my kid finishes high school. I'll be happy when my kid finishes uni. I'll be happy when my kid gets married. I'll be happy when my kid gets kids or whatever it may be. Or it could be like to a different, you know, idea. But it's just like, that's why I feel like more than anything, you should just look at what you have now. Because Anjad, like Shahad, if you look at the state we're living in, it's such, such a blessing. We have a roof over our head. We can guarantee a meal every single night. We have working AC. We have Wi-Fi that works all the time. If I want to call you, I can call you. If I want to cry to you, I can cry to you.
Yeah.
We have the ability to buy better microphones and like improve our quality for the podcast. Like even small things like that, that before we couldn't do. And we kept on telling ourselves, oh, you know, when we have better microphones, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And now we do. And I literally setting us up now. I was so happy. I was like, Shahad, we're finally at the stage. Like, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So like, I feel like even in these small milestones that mean so much to you, just be thankful to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as difficult as it sounds, because again, you don't know the life that a person, like I'm thinking really like wide, because we don't know who's watching. We don't know which background they come from. We don't know how they're watching us on their phone, movie?
Cinema?
Imagine us on a massive screen. Hey guys. But you don't know how they're watching us, and maybe to them, like, I lost my point. I was like, it's a very okay. Inspirational thing.
Damn.
But yeah, I don't know. I just, alhamdulillah for everything.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
And
just another point.
Yes, sorry.
That I really like how the old times used to do it, because it was all done with exchange. There wasn't money.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like
trading?
Yeah. Because I was like, I remember I would tell my friends, I was, you know what, I'm going to start a new country where there is no money involved.
But you know what? Trading kind of happens now. Like,
yeah.
Like trading stock. You're trading something and you get something in return.
And I just feel like, I don't know, I really like the concept. Then they'd be like, okay, but how would you get people to work?
Mm.
And I'd be like, well, every person will like do something in exchange for something.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just like the concept of like doing something and getting something in return more than money transaction.
But then, don't you feel like working is that exchange? You're exchanging your energy, your time, your health, your mind for money, right?
Yeah, that's the same thing.
No, I'm not trying to like ruin your parade, but I'm just like there is always some sort of like transaction.
Yeah.
And then like,
because like it used to be before, like, okay, I want this gold, so I'm gonna exchange with like a cow or something, like a camel.
Yeah.
So that type of exchange. But then, of course, I feel like, it gives you the same stress, because, like, you need, like, 20 camels then.
Or you need to figure out how you're going to get the camels. Or how you're going to get, like, the gold or whatever it is.
How are we going to get the camels, guys?
Guys, let's figure that out. New plan, 2025, Shahad's Island.
Yeah.
Let's go. Get your camels and let's go. Let's start trading.
Yeah.
But yeah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
Alhamdulillah.
And again, I like this topic is a bit heavy, and what we're saying is, once again, really from our viewpoint, and we like to bring our perspective on it. We're not like professionals. We haven't discovered the whole entire world. We only know a tiny sliver of how
very, very, very tiny.
Like very there's tiny. So many people on this planet, and there's like so many different stories, and everyone has their own story and their own life and their own journey.
Yeah.
So we're sharing our tiny little input.
Our perspective on what we see
and what we feel.
Yeah
Good job.
Anyways, thank you guys, and I hope you all are happy, healthy, and safe,
and inshallah we'll see you next week where we talk about ourselves. So leave your comments down below and subscribe.
Bye.